Okay, today I want to talk about the Temple of the Holy Ghost, which is your physical body. And I want to start with giving you a challenge today. Try not to get offended. Because I guarantee you that there will be some things that are going to be getting close to home. Listen to what I share from the Word of God. Go home and see if these things are true. And then act accordingly. Yeah. Let's start with getting an idea of why it matters what we do with our physical bodies. Go to 1 Corinthians 6. We just read it. And read for now verses 18 till 20. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that commits fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and you're not your own? For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's.
از خدا یافتید و از آن خود نیستید زیرا که به قیمتی خریده شدید از خدا را به بدن و به روح خود تجلیل نمایید که از آن خدا می باشند.
If you're a Christian, the body that you're living in is the temple of the Holy Ghost. God lives in you. Yeah, we call that the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, Jesus referred to his body also as a temple. Listen to John 2:19 and 21. Jesus answered and said unto them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Then said the Jews, 40 years was this temple in building, and will they rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. Your body is a temple, and it is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Yeah? Did you read the wrong one?
No.
Okay. But not alone. It also said, you're not your own. This body that you have, it is not yours. It belongs to God. Yeah, it's like getting a rental car. You're expected to take care of it. And when you come back, you have to give account on how you treated it. If you arrive with the front bumper missing, windshield broken, left mirror duct tape to it. Yeah, you can expect trouble. Yeah, your body. It's not yours. You are bought with a price. And it's the temple of the Holy Spirit. God Himself resides in you, in your body. Therefore, we are to glorify God in our spirit and our body. Yeah, meaning that we are to treat that body properly. Meaning we are not to defile it. Yeah, we should treat it as it belongs to God because it does belong to
Him.
So, today I want to look at several ways in which Christians can defile our bodies, things that we can do to our bodies that God would not approve of. And the first thing I want to start with is the one which is directly from the context. It's fornication. Go back to 1 Corinthians 6 and read verses 15 to 18. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What, know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, said he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committed fornication sinneth against his own body.
What verse?
15 to 18.
آیا نمیدانید که بدنهای شما اعضای مسیح است؟ پس آیا اعضای مسیح را برداشته اعضای فاحشه گردانم؟ هرگز. آیا نمیدانید که هرگز با فاحشه پیوندد با وی یک تن میشود؟ زیرا میگوید هر دو روح یک تن خواهند. اما کسی که با خداوند پیوندد یک روح است. از دلش بگریزید هر گناهی که آدمی میکند بیرون از بدن است، اما زناکار بر بدن خود گناه میورزد.
Yeah, the Bible urges us to flee fornication. This is something that God says of, you need to run screaming the other way. Now, what is fornication? And I know in the Farsi it's a little more difficult because you don't have a word for this specifically. In Farsi you use the same word that describes a man or a woman who is married that is unfaithful to his or her spouse.
Yeah,
in English we call this adultery. Yeah, having a physical relationship with somebody else than the one you're married to. We do have a term?
Yeah, there is a literal word. Yeah.
Teacher, added to it. Tell her, because I'm planning to preach on this topic another sermon. And it's very confusing with the Farsi I understood in the Bible. So fornication is having that physical relationship between a man or woman outside of marriage. And this is a wicked sin. And it's described it as a sin against your own body. Know ye not that your body are members of Christ? How can you take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Oh, but it's just my girlfriend and I'm sure I'm going to marry her. Wrong. If you commit fornication, yeah, the Bible calls you a whoremonger and your girlfriend a harlot. Because that is what God says it actually is. How can you join the members of Christ, your body, temple of the Holy Spirit, with the members of a harlot? Now you're defiling the body that God has given you by doing these things. And I understand, this is not what our culture teaches us. Our culture promotes fornication wherever it can. If it's on the TV series, it's in the movies, it's everywhere. And it's always portrayed as something that is fun, something that is cool, something that's supposed to be normal. Now, God sees this very differently. We already saw that God calls a person that does this a warmonger, a harlot. Now, go to the book of Revelation and listen to this illustration. Revelation chapter 17. I understand this is symbolism, but it gives us a good picture. Yeah, Revelation 17, verses 1 to 4. And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither. I will shew unto thee the judgment of the great war that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication.
و یکی از آن هفت فرشته‌ای که هفت پیاده را داشتند آمد به من خطاب کرده مرا گفت بیا تا حکم آن فاحشه بزرگ را که بر آب‌های بسیار نشسته است به تو نشان دهم که پادشاهان جهان با او زنا کردند و ساکنان زمین از شراب زنای او مست شدند پس مرا در روح به بیابان برد و زنی را دیدم بر وحش قرمزی سوار شده که از نام‌های کفر بود و هفت سر ده شاخ داشت و آن زن به ارغوانی و قرمز آراسته بود و به طلا و جواهر مروارید مزین و به پیلایی و پیاله زرین به دست خود پر از زشتی ها و ناپاکی های زنای خود داشت.
Yeah, so the picture of a whore, of a harlot, is used to describe something here. Now, listen to the words that are used. Yeah, she's in the business of fornication. And it's not described as something fun and cool. It's described as her abominations. It's described as filthiness. Yeah, God is disgusted by it. And this isn't, if you go over the Bible, this is consistently the kind of description you will find. Uncleanness, filthy. Yeah, it is something that defiles your body. And above it, it also harms your body. That's what they don't show you in the television series and movies. There's a built-in punishment for fornicators. Because you can get diseases from it. And many of those diseases you will have for the rest of your life, and there's no cure. And in our society, where the concept of remaining pure is almost foreign, these diseases have exploded. There are people out there that are disease dispensers, going from one partner to another partner to another partner, infecting those who are warmongers. You have a category that's extremely active in this sense. These are the sodomites, and they go both ways. They're the greatest dispensers of disease. And I will save you the statistics because it makes you throw up. But disease is out there. And when you fornicate, these diseases can come to you. And the Bible says, as a Christian, you should flee fornication. Not see how close you can come without sinning. Flee from it. It is a sin. It is not good. And it's harmful to your body. You may even think, oh, the people around me, they seem to be getting away with it. Now, first of all, you don't know that. But you, as a Christian, definitely won't. Because who the Lord loved, he chastened it. Yeah? A saved person, it's much more likely to get punished for his or her sin than an unsaved person. Because there's a God, who's your Father, that loves you and wants you to go right. God will judge his children. Go to 2 Corinthians 7. 2 Corinthians 7 verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God.
پس ای عزیزان، چون این وعده‌ها را داریم، خویشتن را از هر ناپاکی جسم و روح پاک بسازیم و قدوسیت را در خدا ترسی به کمال رسانیم.
Yeah, cleanse yourself from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit. It's both, by the way. Yeah, glorify God in the body and in the spirit. Go to Romans 12. Romans 12, 1. I beseech you, brethren, therefore, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service.
پس ای برادران شما را به رحمت‌های خدا استدعا می‌کنم که بدن‌های خود را قربانی زنده مقدس پسندیده خدا تقدیم کنید که عبادت معقول شماست.
You think that living in fornication equals presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God? I don't think so. Yeah, fornication defiles the body. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. You are a member of Christ. You should not be joined to the harlot. It's a reasonable service to present to our body a living sacrifice. Flee fornication. And let me add to this that fornication is also a special category of sin that gets you removed from fellowship. If you're in this church and you're found out to live in fornication, here are your three options. Get married,
ازدواج کن.
Meaning get married in the next one or two weeks.
یکی دو هفته آینده ازدواج کن.
Break the relationship.
رابطت رو بشکن.
Or find yourself be removed from church. Get thrown out of the church.
از کلیسا اخراج شو.
Now this is a sin that is like leaven.
گناهی هست که میگه
and it needs to be dealt with, otherwise it spreads.
و باید باهاش کنار رفت، باهاش کنار اومد و بیرونش کرد، وگرنه همه مایه رو خمیر ترش
می‌کنه. This is one way in which we can defile our body through fornication.
یکی از راههایی که می‌تونیم بدنمون رو خراب کنیم از طریق زنا.
Here is another one.
یه راه دیگه.
By marring our body.
بدنهامون رو آسیب رسوندن.
Go to the book of Leviticus. Leviticus
19.
And when you grab the Old Testament, especially these books, which are relevant to us today,
I
listened to the sermons I preached a couple months ago about the covenants. People always think, oh, it doesn't apply to us. Now, that is wrong. They do apply to us. The law is still good. And yes, there are things that are done away with. There are things that are fulfilled in Christ. But the moral law is still applicable to you, I mean, today as Christians. It's still a sin. It's still wrong to violate that law. The law of the God is perfect. It doesn't have errors. Yeah, and Leviticus 19, which we're going to read from. By the way, it's also the chapter that gives us the verse, love thy neighbor as thyself. Yeah, this is what Jesus quoted when he said this, Leviticus 19. Read Leviticus 19:28 till 29. Ye shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord. Do not prostitute thy daughter to cause her to be a whore. That's the land fall to whoredom and the land become full of wickedness.
به خاطر مردگان تن خود را مجروح مسازید و بدنهای خود را خالکوبی مکنید. من یهوه هستم. دختر خود را به فاحشگی با مدارید و با این کار او را به ناپاکی مکشانید. مبادا زمین به فحشا گرفتار آید و از فساد پر گردد.
Yeah, so here's another way in which we can defile our physical bodies. By cutting, making cuttings in your body for the dead. And you might think, who will do this?
Yeah.
Pagan cultures do. Actually, demon-possessed people do. But this is not something that we as Christians should do. We are not to disrespect our physical bodies. Yeah, don't mar your body. But then also, do not imprint marks upon your body. Because that's also what pagan religions do.
That's what heathen do.
And God says, you as a Christian should not do that.
Now,
let me translate this in 2023 language. Tattoo is an imprinted mark on your body. Yeah, pushing ink with needles into your skin is imprinting marks on your body. Now, some of you will have tattoos at the moment. I'm not preaching against you. This is something you've done in the past. And it's permanent. You can't change it anymore. Yeah, and then there are those who say, oh, but you can remove tattoos. No, it's not like that. No, it's very hard to get them removed, if at all. The success rate is not high. It leaves scars and everything behind. If you have a tattoo, it's for life. Yeah, I'm not speaking to you if you already have. Don't take more. But I specifically speak to those who don't have any tattoos yet. Hopefully never will have. Yeah, do not imprint marks on your body. Because you're defiling your body. By doing that. You're scratching the car. Yeah. Oh, but I'll get tattoos so I can reach out to the bikers. I'll look just like them. I don't do the skeletons and the snakes and the dragons. I will do hearts and Bible verses. No, the Bible says do not imprint marks on your body. And the fact that you even have to think about what you see outside being done, all these graphics that are leaning towards the demonic or are pure demonic, that should give you an idea what kind of culture you're getting into. Yeah, that's a red flag. Yeah, don't make cuttings in yourself. Don't imprint marks on your body. Yeah, and don't burn yourself. Don't mutilate yourself. And yes, there are actually people on this earth that will mutilate themselves. That's demonic. That's not of God. Yeah, it's pagan. It's a heathen culture. Not Christianity. Just stay stay natural. Don't permanently disfigure yourself. And while we're on this topic, let me also add to this. Don't obsess about changing your body because you don't like the looks. Yeah? I like different nose. I like different lips. I like this different. All the parts. No, that's not what God wants you to do as a Christian. You're created perfect. You should be satisfied by who you are. Yeah? And if you want to do it to stand out, because that's often the reason, here's what you can do to really stand out. Yeah, live as a Christian. Take the Bible serious. That will make you really stand out. Don't adorn yourself. Adorn yourself with good works. 1 Peter 3:3-5. Who's adorning? Let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold and of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in that old time, the holy women also were trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto her own husbands.
زیرا بدین گونه زنان و مقدس در گذشته نیست که متوکل به خدا بودند خیشتن را آرایش می‌دونند و شوهران خود را اطاعت می‌کردند.
Don't stand out.
Adorn
yourself with good works.
By
doing what is right.
Obeying God.
In the sight of God, that is of great price. Yeah, and in our wicked society we live in, you will really stand out. So, how can we defile our bodies? We can defile our bodies with fornication.
Yeah,
the Bible says flee fornication. We can defile our bodies by marring our bodies.
Yeah,
don't make cuttings for the dead. Don't put marks in your body. Don't mutilate yourself. Here's a third way in which we can defile the temple of the Holy Spirit. With being a sluggard. Yeah, which means a person who is slothful, who is lazy. Yeah? Why is being lazy defiling the body? Because, first of all, the body and the soul and the spirit is connected. Your physical status will affect your spiritual condition. Go to 3 John, chapter 2, and read verses 1 and 2. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish all above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth.
3 John?
Yeah.
What verse?
2:1-2.
از شیخ به گایوس محبوب که او را در حقیقت محبت می نمایم. ای محبوب دعا می کنم در هر وجه کامیاب و تندرست بوده باشی چنان که جان تو کامیاب است.
Now, notice that John wishes Gaius both to be doing well in health, physical health, and in spiritual health, that the soul will prosper. I understand that there are certain people who are very sick, and they're high in spirit, yeah? And if you are like that, you should be spiritually doing well. But there's also a relation in being a sluggard, being lazy, and not being fit to do the work that God has for you. Now, if you have somebody working for you, you would like this person to be healthy. And so they're able to do the work. Now guess what? You're a worker for God. You were bought with a price. We are His servants. And we need to take care of the body that we've been given. And we can defile that body by being lazy, being idle. Go to Proverbs 19, verse 15. Slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep. An idle soul shall suffer hunger. Yeah, slothfulness casted into a deep sleep.
Now,
it is the lazy person that seems to be always tired. Yeah, being lazy, laying on your back all the time, does not give you energy. It's just making you more tired. And I know our bodies need rest. But in general, if you're a person who works hard, you will have more energy. And there are people that specifically go to the gym in the morning with the sole purpose so they have energy for the day. Activity will give you energy. Yeah? Being idle takes away energy. It's a vicious cycle of having no energy. Oh, I feel tired to get out of bed, to do this or that. As a result, you become even more tired. It's even harder to come out of bed. You need to show some character and do something. Get out. Don't hit the alarm 10 times before you come out. Yeah, do some work, lazy bum. Proverbs
24:5.
A wise man is strong. Yeah, a man of knowledge increases strength. A wise man is strong. A man of knowledge gets stronger, increases strength. Now, you're not going to increase strength by doing nothing, by being lazy. And strength is a virtue for a man. Being weak is not. A wise man is the man that works hard. That because that makes him strong. Now, when you talk about this topic, inevitably, somebody will mention you 1 Timothy 4. So let's go there. 1 Timothy 4 and read verse 8. And I think they can prove that we don't need to do physical exercise, that we don't need to take care of our body. 1 Timothy 4:8. For bodily exercise profited little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. See, the Bible says that bodily exercise profited little. It's being godly. Godliness, that's what we need to focus on.
Now,
I agree that we should focus on being godly. That is important. But it doesn't mean we can just trash our bodies. It profits little, but it does profit. It is something that we need to think about. Now, here's something else that you need to realize. These words were spoken to a people that didn't know engines. Yeah, it was spoken to people that didn't sit behind a desk for 8 hours looking at a computer screen. It was spoken to people that did hard labor by default. Yeah, when we see Jesus walking from city to city, yeah, he's walking. The disciples are walking, probably carrying all kinds of stuff with them. Yeah, we see Jesus went to pray. Where did he go? He went to the mountain. Yeah, people on average in those times were physically in a much better condition than we are today.
Because
a significant number of the people are sedentary. They don't move. So bodily exercise profited little. If you're a normal working human, maybe it profits a little bit more. If you don't move so much, if you live in sedentary lifestyle. Yeah, and the laziness affects your body. You can defile your body by being lazy, by being a sluggard. It's disregarding the body that God has given you to serve Him. Not being fit for the work that God has for you. So how can we defile our bodies? With fornication. Flee from it, run away from it. We can defile our bodies by marring it, taking cuttings in it, tattoos on it, burning marks, mutilate it. We can defile our bodies by being lazy, by being a sluggard. Now, here's a fourth way in which we can defile our body. Yeah, that is a member of Christ. By being a glutton. Proverbs 23:20-21. Be not among wine bibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh, for the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Proverbs
23:20-21.
Proverbs
23:20-21.
Yeah, so we have two warnings here. One in regards to drunkenness, which we'll look at in a moment. And the other one in regards to being a glutton. Yeah? Do not be among riotous eaters of flesh. People who don't have thought about what they eat and how much they eat. And of course, if this is how you live, if this is eat whatever, how much ever you want, this will have an impact on your health sooner or later. Yeah, for example, being obese kills you. All kinds of diseases comes from this. But also, eating a lot of unhealthy things causes all kinds of disease. What you're doing is you are defiling the body that God has given you, the temple of God. It will affect your readiness, your ability to serve Him. Yeah, come out. Soul winning with us. And you will see, we're doing a lot of walking. And if you and me, then it goes a little faster. Yeah, prepare to run your race. Yeah. Your physical condition will affect your ability to serve. Yeah, because what is the message today? Our body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. You take care of the body. Yeah, we're not to defile it. Yeah, with fornication, mutilating it, tattooing it, making permanent modifications, by being lazy, becoming a low energy person, and not by being a glutton. It will affect your health. Maybe not even in the short term, but eventually in the long term. Yeah, we are in this race for life. We need to have a body that is ready to serve and work. And if we trash it with all kinds of unhealthy foods, we end up not able to serve because of our poor health. Go to Proverbs 17. I already mentioned this. There is a link between your physical body and your soul and spirit. Proverbs 17:22. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones.
17:22.
So a merry heart works as a medicine. But a broken spirit dried the bones. If you are physically unhealthy, that can have an effect on your soul and spirit. And again, the opposite also is true. If you are in a bad place spiritually, it can affect your physical health. Yeah, why does stress affect your health? Because these things are connected. Yeah, sometimes people become depressed and have mental problems because they do not take care of their body. Go to Ecclesiastes 10. And let's look at the reason why we should eat. Ecclesiastes 10, 16 and 17. Woe to thee, O land, when the king is a child and the princes eat in the morning. Blessed art thou, O land, when the king is the son of the nobles and thy princes eat in due season for strength and not for drunkenness.
16 and 17.
So why should and 17 also? Did you read 17?
خوشا به حال تو ای سرزمینی که پادشاهت نجیب زاده است و صاحب منصبانت در وقت مناسب ضیافت میکنند به جهت نیرو گرفتن نه به گسانی.
Yeah, why should we eat?
چرا باید بخوریم?
What's the reason the Bible gives us that we should
eat? چرا کلام خدا من میگه باید بخوریم?
Is it so we can always have a party?
که ما همیشه
بخوریم. No, it's for strength.
نه, به خاطر اینکه قوت داشته باشیم.
We eat because it is the fuel that our body needs to function.
لازم داره که قدرت داشته باشیم که
We eat so we will be strong.
بخوریم که قوی بشیم.
The point is eating healthy food.
غذای سالم بخوریم.
Not overeating for pleasure.
زیاد نخوریم برای
لذت بردن. Eat what you need to function. And of course, I know in Iranian culture, having this wonderful Persian food, this is a real struggle. At least I find so. Yeah, but the primary purpose of eating is good nutrition, and we should keep ourselves in check. Even if we eat Persian food, do not be a glutton. Show some self-control. And I do speak to myself as well.
Yeah,
but your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You're bought at a price. You're not your own. Treat it well.
To
do the work that God has given you. Listen to the next verse, which is interesting that this is the next verse. Ecclesiastes 10:18. By much slothfulness the building decayeth, and to idleness of the hands the house droppeth through.
از تنبلی سقف فرو می‌ریزد از سستی دست‌ها خانه چکه می‌کند.
So we're talking about eating for strength, and then the next thing, it talks about a building decaying and a house dropping through. I couldn't help but think, hey, that's like our body if we don't eat well, if we have bad eating habits. Eventually, it will even decay faster than naturally. You're shortening your lifespan. Yeah, which is not right. Because it means less time you can serve God. Yeah, present your body a living sacrifice. Don't abuse it. Yeah, by being lazy or just by eating whatever without any concern
of content equality.
Yeah, letting it go to waste. That's not what God wants for you. I know there are more reasons why you can have a poor health, but don't be the cause yourself for having a poor health. Eat for strength. Stop drinking the Coca-Cola. It affects you negatively. Go low on the sweets. Be careful about the food you eat. Processed foods are will impact you negatively over time. Eat closer to nature. No, I'm not saying you can never have chocolate anymore or something like that. I'm just saying have a pattern in your life where you are eating for strength, not having a party all the time.
Yeah.
And by the way, food affects your brain as well, your ability to think.
Yeah.
Your brain needs nutrition. Here's the last one. The last way that we can defile our bodies. And that is by through addictive substances. What I mean by that? Alcohol, cigarettes, drugs. Yeah, addictive substances that are bad for your body.
Now,
I've talked with people who smoke.
And
it's always like, where does the Bible say that? That I cannot smoke cigarettes. But all know that it's not good for your health.
Yeah?
Stop smoking will improve your physical condition. It will reduce your chance on cancer. Yeah, my dad died because of cancer, which came from smoking.
So,
and even though the Bible doesn't specifically say that smoking cigarettes is a sin, it is actually pretty foolish to pay for a product that reduces your health and increases your chances on lung cancer. And the Bible says the thought of foolishness is sin. So there you go. Now, drugs, I don't even have to mention that.
Yeah,
it literally destroys your body. And of course, it holds for street drugs.
It can kill you.
But also prescription drugs. You need to be careful with that. Yeah, don't defile your body with these substances. It does not make the temple of the Holy Spirit better. It makes your body worse. And then you have alcohol. Now, there are people who claim that alcohol is good for you. And they take you to the following scripture. 1 Timothy 5, verse 23. Drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and then often infirmities.
First Timothy 5:23.
So see? Paul tells Timothy to go get booze and drink it for his health. Wine is good for you. Answer, wrong. Yeah? The word wine in the Bible, first of all, can mean two things. It refers to either juice or the alcoholic version that we call wine today. Go to Isaiah 65:8. Isaiah 65:8, and I will show you that wine is used for juice as well. As the new wine is found in the cluster. I didn't completely write it down. As the new wine is found in the cluster, that's the part I actually want to point at. But
برکتی در آن هست من نیز به خاطر خادمانم چنین عمل خواهم کرد و آنها را به کل هلاک نخواهم ساخت.
Yeah, let me read it also in English completely. Thus said the Lord, as a new wine is found in the cluster, and one said, destroy it not, for a blessing is in it, so will I do for my servant's sake, that I may not destroy them all. So here we have the wine that is In the cluster, in the grapes.
شرابی که درون خوشه هست.
Now I can assure you that if you squeeze out grapes, you are not ending up with an alcoholic drink. Yeah, you don't have to show your ID when you are getting grapes from the grocery store. Yeah, the point is that the Bible speaks about two kinds of wine. It just uses the same word. How do we know which one is talking about? What about context? Just using your common sense and look at the context. Oh, but it is proven that some wine is good for your health. Now, yeah, maybe there is some health benefit, but you can get the same health benefit from drinking juice. You just don't have the harmful alcohol in it. Now, I'm not going to go very deep into it because at the beginning of this year I preached two full sermons on this. Why you as a Christian should never drink alcohol. You can look them up or ask Sahar to send them to you because I don't think they're online yet. One is called Alcohol in Light of the Bible, Two Kinds of Wine. And the other one is called Alcohol in the Light of the Bible, Kings and Priests. Now, clearly, drunkenness is always wrong. Nobody doubts about that.
But
let me give you quickly some scriptures. And of course, drunkenness is also very harmful to you. Let me also give you some scriptures that would indicate that you need to stay away from alcohol altogether. Proverbs 23. And read verses 29 till 33. Who had woe? Who had sorrow? Who had contentions? Who had babbling? Who had wounds without cause? Who had redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine. They that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like a nether. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things.
29-33. آنان راست که تا دیر وقت دل از شراب بر نمی کنند و در پی چشیدن شرابهای برآمیخته می گروند. به شراب آنگاه که صبحفام است منگر، آنگاه که در پیاله می درخشد و به نرمی پایین می رود.
Yeah. Notice what it says in by the way, this is not a positive passage. This is negative. Yeah. But notice what it says in verse 31. Yeah, that there is a kind of wine that we should not look on. Yeah, there's a kind of wine that is called juice, the non-alcoholic version. And there's a kind of wine that you should not look on that has alcohol, that you can get drunk from. And it says, do not even look at it. This will cause trouble to your life. Go to Proverbs 21. Proverbs 21. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise.
20:1. شراب تمسخر می کند و باده عربده می کشد. حکیم نیست هر آن که فریفته آنان شود.
It warns here for not being deceived by alcohol. Why are so many people getting into trouble with alcohol? Because they get deceived. How? Because if you drink alcohol, it will slowly change your judgment. Oh, I can take another one. I'm fine. I'm doing okay. But you don't realize that your judgment has been affected by the alcohol just you already drank. And eventually, you find yourself in your own puke. Or in the back of a police van, not even understanding what you have done. Go to Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31:4. Yeah, alcohol is harmful to you. Proverbs 31:4. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it's not for kings to drink wine, nor the princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Proverbs 31:4-5. Can stay there because we're going to read another two verses.
ای لموئیل شاهان را نمی شاید که شراب نوشند
Of course, this is good advice of a mother to her son. But it's not just that. It is also scripture. It's the author speaking. Yeah, God is speaking here. What's the good advice? Yeah. Don't drink strong drink. Don't drink things with alcohol. Why is it good advice? Because alcohol will change your judgment. Continue reading. Verses 6 and 7. Give strong drink unto to him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more.
فقر خیش فراموش کنند و تیره روزی خیش دیگر به یاد نیاورند.
Yeah, the miners will look at this and say, hey, see, it's okay. There are a certain group of people that we can give strong drink to. See, the Bible says it's okay to drink alcohol. Yeah, for those who perish, who are out of heavy hearts. So they don't remember their misery.
That
sounds like an excellent reason to start drinking.
Pick a booze.
Because you're perishing because you're in misery. No, this is a very, very bad idea. The good way was to stay away from it. But listen to this. If you're saved, you're not the one who's perishing. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believed on him should not perish but have everlasting life. We are not part of those who are perishing. And even if it was okay for somebody who is not a Christian, which it's not, it definitely is not for you. And it's also not for kings and priests. Princes, sorry. Because we are called kings and priests in the Bible. It's not for you. It's harmful to you. It affects the ability for you to think, to judge.
Yeah,
do not defile the temple of the Holy Spirit. Why not? Because you're not your own. You're bought at a price. You are a member of Christ. You should be ready and able to serve the Lord. So what were the areas in which we can defile our bodies? With fornication. Wicked sin. Bible tells us to flee from it. By marring our bodies. Don't imprint marks on your body. Yeah, don't get tattoos. Don't cut yourself. Or do even worse things to your body. Don't be lazy. A low energy person. Affects your health.
Yeah,
if you live in sedentary life, you need to do some work. You need to do some exercise. Not so you can show off, but so you are fit to do the work for Christ. How can you defile your body? By being glutton. By not giving any thought of what you eat and how much you eat. You need to eat to have strength. And lastly, don't defile your body with addictive substances, alcohol, cigarettes, drugs, because you're defiling the body that is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Again, focus on godliness. That is more important on your body. Don't make a religion out of treating your physical body in a certain way. But we do need to take care of it. Now, you need to decide what you will do with this information and how you're going to treat your body. I'm not a religious police. If you want to step out of the building and put up a cigarette, that's up to you. If you want to get a tattoo, that's up to you. I'm just telling you, you're defiling the body that God has given you. If you want to drink alcohol, that's up to you. Yeah, of course, as long as you don't get drunk, because then we're getting into 1 Corinthians 5 territory again. Yeah, but when you do these things, you show disrespect and disregard for the body that God has given you. Yeah, we need to keep our bodies in good health. Yeah, within reason. Yeah, not to focus our lives on that. But so we can serve God to the uttermost. Living long, healthy, and productive lives for Him. Yeah, lives that would benefit the kingdom of God. Let's close with 1 Corinthians 6:20. 1 Corinthians 6:20. For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Amen.
زیرا که به قیمتی خریده شدید، پس خدا را به بدن و به روح خود تجلیل نمایید که از آن خدا می باشند. آمین.
آمین.
آمین. آمین.